Like we know the story. We know what's happening, that Jesus was sent here for us, to die on behalf of us, to take everything that we're responsible for upon him so that we might be set free. It's a great story. And we're going to look at Jesus this morning as Jesus on mission. If there's anybody that's on mission, that has a task, that knows what he has to do, it is definitely Jesus. And then he helps us to sort of, to come on mission as well, to discover what it looks like for us to walk with him. So let's pray as we start. And we have a bit of stuff to do here this morning. Lots of fun watching the kids run around with the branches. I tried to look excited, and hope they weren't videoing me, because I didn't look so excited. But when you hear me sing, and when you hear my heart sing, like I think in your hearts too, I'm very excited. So excited. So excited with who Jesus is and what he does for us. So let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the opportunity to do something physical, to walk around, even though we even feel awkward doing that. But because we live in the world of what we see, and we forget about that unseen world sometimes, or we just kind of push it out, and we don't want to let people be a part of it even, or see it. Or so God, help us to just embrace the unseen and to walk in it, walking with your Holy Spirit that's right here, and enjoy hearing about your word. We ask that you help us to enjoy our fellowship even with communion this morning, that we would come together. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Bob, thanks for reading. And we're going to concentrate on the baptism, but we'll flip through, we'll just kind of zip through the last bit of Mark 1, so we finish Mark 1, just so we feel accomplished, right? So in Mark, we're going to be going through the Gospel of Mark, Pastor Kyle and myself, and we're looking forward to that. We mapped it all out this week. We're good to go, right? I mean, not that we're not open to change. Are we? Maybe not. But anyway, we're going to go through Mark, and it's going to take us right through the summer, so it'll be kind of fun. So what I would say, as I said last week, it's a short book, right? Only 16 chapters. It's way shorter than a lot of the chapters you might read in a book that you're reading now, probably. So go through it, read through it. And it's really kind of abrupt, the way Mark takes us through things. And he concentrates on showing us Jesus, who he is, what he did, and the hope we have in him. So read through it and read it in that way. So let's go right to the baptism. You'll notice that it talks about John the Baptist in chapter 1, but it goes in verse 9 right into the baptism. It says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. Interesting, first of all, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and they're like, so what? Because that really wasn't too significant. Certainly wasn't one of the towns that was listed in the Old Testament, I don't recall anywhere. He was not like he was coming from Zion, from the city of Jerusalem, some guy who was sought after as a teacher, or someone who was sought at as maybe a religious leader, or someone maybe who had recently done something great and maybe was promising some good things and how they were going to come from underneath the rule of the Romans. Wasn't that at all. It was so unassuming. It was Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee, and he had come to John in the desert, just like so many others did. Unassuming in his appearance, pretty much just one of the guys. And as he came out, at this time it says he was baptized by John in the Jordan. So he just went in the Jordan River like everybody else, the Son of God. We know it's the Son of God because it told us at the beginning of this book. Which, by the way, I want to remind you that as this book was written, it was written for people going through a lot of challenging moments. Mark, in his heart, took the words that he had heard from other people and things that he had seen and put it into a book, so that he could give them hope as they journey through a terrible time of living as a Christian. And so here we see that as Mark even writes about the baptism, he's opening something new up. Because this baptism, the things that I'm going to tell you, were basically things that were for Jesus. Like Jesus saw the things that happened, these events. It wasn't like everybody was going to be able to see everything that happened when Jesus was baptized. So when Mark writes about the baptism, he's opening the eyes of the people to realize that this is Jesus, the Son of God, and what you're going through is worth it. So stay on the mission that God's called you to. Stay in there. Hang in there. There's new life. And that's what he's saying to us too. So it says that he was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him. And then it says that his father said something about him, that he's the Son of God. But it's interesting that it starts off with the heavens as he's coming out of the water. And Jesus sees this. Jesus sees this. He's looking up. He sees the heavens torn like that, right? Ripped apart. Now, I was reading a commentary, and I really love what it said, that when things are torn, not so easy to put them back together, right? So, oh my gosh. I saw David put his cross together, so he seems to have a way to do that, but I cannot do that. So it's very difficult. Whereas if you just open something like in Ezekiel, it says he saw the heavens open, and then you can close them again. No. It's ripped. It's torn. And now there's access. It's like it's the inauguration. It's the beginning of something brand new where Jesus has come to be with them. It's a moment when, a moment when the Father starts something off that's brand new, and we are the recipients of it. And so are the people at Mark's writing to. And so he's saying to them, come on, guys. It is heaven. Literally, you don't know this, but when Jesus came up, the heavens ripped open. And then the Spirit came down like a dove. He's not a dove, but it's like a dove. It's just like a dove. And they got this picture of a gentle Holy Spirit coming down, but he has power because he ripped the heavens open. So it's not like he's just gentle and like, oh, floating down. It's just a dove coming down. Like we see the pictures. Oh, there's the dove. No. It ripped open. Jesus saw it, nobody else. And the Holy Spirit came down like a dove on him. And the Father said, he confirmed and said to him, this is my son who I am well pleased. Go and do your work, son. And so John's telling the guys, this is what happened. Don't you understand? It may have seemed like nothing, but it was everything. The unseen. Go on mission now. We are on mission with the unseen as well. Sometimes we feel like blinded. But through the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, he can open our eyes. And we can actually see that God is alive and well and working in so many different ways. So allow him to do that. This event, I think, can give you that hope. We on our mission, yesterday I was on mission. Boy, were we on mission, right? Is Hannah still here? Anyhow, Hannah and I were on mission. And we were raking. We raked from, not 9 a.m. because we might have slugged up. Been a little slow getting there. About 9:30, 9:45 maybe, we started raking. And we took a little break for pizza, of course. And then we went right through till 3. Now, on that mission, I never would have finished that mission. I would have stopped at maybe 11 o'clock and went and takes a picture somewhere and maybe said, excuse me for a minute, I got to check out the kayaks to see how they're doing. But there were 3 other people there, so I had some accountability. So, Hannah, right? So Hannah was with me, and we're raking away, and every now and then we just lose it. And we're like, start to stop. But then the 2 guys beside us are going, and the 1 guy's laughing a lot. I thought, oh, all right, let's go. And then we go, and then they start to stop a little, and they'd see us, and then they'd start going, and together we'd be on mission. Now, that was very physical, right? It was super physical. We're doing something that we're trying to do to make a difference for this camp. We're clearing the blaster zone so the kids can come in and blast each other with guns. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
So that's what we were doing. That was our mission. But that wasn't our mission. You see, that was the seen. The unseen was that the Holy Spirit was active and moving. And he wanted us to provide a place for kids to come, for adults to come, whatever, to come and have fun. But then they could be introduced to Jesus. Right? That unseen Jesus right now that we don't see physically, but he is alive in me as I'm out there raking the leaves. And actually, as I walked around, I wanted to stay like that too. I was thinking, God, I gotta stay on mission, not just this raking. I hate that stuff, but I don't want to do more. And so as I walked back and forth, I did walk back and forth. A couple times I had to exchange rakes for better ones and right, get some shovels and stuff like that, and taking care of stuff that's really important. And as I did that, I would be praying for the cabin. So I thought, I can be on mission differently. God, keep me aware of the unseen so that I know that you're working and you're doing something. It's not just me physically doing something. Guys, it's not just us physically. This coming week, we're going to go to the school. And we're like, oh my goodness, that's such a pain in the butt. And why are we going there? We don't really need the room, right? Well, that's not the point. What is the unseen job we're doing? What are we trying to do for the community around us? Can we do that? Are we able to do that? Yes, we can. And particularly when we do it together. Because I go there early and I try to set up things so that I put the signs up, and of course I always forget the signs, so I have to recopy them and then bring them out and tape them up. Oh my gosh. And as I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, it's so early. Do I really want to do this and run back and forth? And then I just feel like I'm just running around. But then God has to stop me and say, yeah, you might be running around, but you're running around for a reason. And so when we run around doing things for Christ, we're doing it for a reason. This was the start of Jesus' mission. He sent him off from there. It was an opportunity for him to go out and do something completely different. And right after that, it says, and I like the way, if you're going to be reading through Mark, I think 40 times I read, it says, immediately, Jesus did this. So immediately, this happened. It's all action. So if you like a good action book, this is all action. And it talks about things that are way out there, that you have to see the unseen to understand. It doesn't make sense physically or in our realm. And then it says right after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus went into Galilee. Just like Mark just kind of, yeah, he went in prison. That's good. Now Jesus wept. Sorry, so he didn't wept, but maybe he did. And he went into Galilee and proclaiming the good news, the time has come, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe the good news. Jesus just hopped right on mission. We can do that too. Guys, we can do that too. I like that he said repent. Did you know that when Jesus went to John the Baptist for the baptism, that was a baptism of repentance? What is the Son of God doing with a baptism of repentance? Well, he's fulfilling all righteousness, apparently, according to the scripture. Who are we to question that? He's going out and he's doing, maybe he's leading the way and showing the people this is what they're supposed to do. But he humbly came, and that's Mark is kind of pegged as that, the servanthood of Jesus. He humbly came. And he went and did something he didn't have to do. It's ridiculous. The Son of God being put in water by a crazy-looking man, John, in the desert in Jordan. And he comes up, and all of a sudden, it all becomes real. Wow. But they didn't know that. It was not spectacular. It was not appealing. It was not a wow moment for everybody there. They're just like, hmm. Although there is insight, and if you read the other Gospels, that John had a moment. And he was wondering, how could I ever do this? I can't do this for you, Jesus. Yes, you have to. And so on he went and he did it. And so there was that moment there as we look at other Gospels. It says there, after that he went on and he just brought his disciples in, right? He brought Simon, he brought Andrew. He went to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, those guys who always wanted to be number one. All these guys had so many flaws, but he went and he found them and he recruited them and he brought them on mission with him. It says after that, he went and he drove out an evil spirit. He went out and he healed many people. It says he then needed to pray in a solitary place. He goes and he heals a man with leprosy. It's all action. Just goes boom, 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 boom. So read through Mark and allow him to draw you out, just like he did these disciples. And allow him to bring you on a journey when you're on mission and it's not clear. It's not like we can say this is exactly what we're going to do, but the scriptures give us enough that we know that we need to go. And then as we go, he goes with us. The unseen travels with us. The Holy Spirit goes with us and gives us the ability, the strength, the power to follow through on the things we couldn't as we do it together. As we do it together. So this morning, we celebrated Palm Sunday, and I thought I'd read just a little bit about Palm Sunday in Mark, because it's appropriate as we're going through Mark. Wrong one. Bear with me. Too many little spots here. Trust me, I'm organized. Okay, so in chapter 11 of Mark, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany of the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, just tell them that the Lord told you to do it. And the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back shortly. So took care of a lot of detail there. It's funny because sometimes Mark, even though he kind of blitzes through things, he tends to take a little bit more of a time to share some detail. No, one of the details he shared. So they did what he told them to. And they did exactly what we did. They brought him in, and I mean, it was far more dramatic because these people had just, as Mark wrote these things to all these guys, all these miracles and things that were happening, these people had witnessed, a lot of them had witnessed these things, and they were pretty excited, and they had hopes of something great happening. And so there was a huge celebration. And Jesus came in and cloaks, basically clothes were thrown before him and the donkey and Jesus walked over them and they went into Jerusalem, paraded as that great person that initially started as Jesus of Nazareth. coming and being baptized by John the Baptist. And yet there was a plan, right? He was on mission. He followed through, and this was predicted that this would happen. And so here it is happening. You see, we don't have to just, even though I say it's not physical and we can't always see it, God also gives us enough that we can use our brains and we can look at it and we can see that it's recorded in history. It was to happen, and then it did happen. Again, recorded in history. When we're on mission with something that's real and alive. We can actually put our hands on it and read it, but we can also, which is more importantly, being confirmed about it in our hearts. Even as Jesus came out of the water, we come before the Word, before history, and we invite the Holy Spirit to say, hey, what's this about? Could this really happen? And he says, yes, it did. So join me on the mission. We're going to do a communion this morning, and this was also part of Jesus' mission. And as he came to this point in his life with communion, it was a moment of a challenging moment for many as he met with his people. And maybe it can be a challenging moment for you also as you meet. I don't know. Because I don't know where you're at this morning and what you're going through. And I don't know how the students are doing after their exams or in the middle of their exams and papers. I don't know what questions come up for you as far as where is life taking you and what you're doing. And now, what's next? Because that's kind of what the disciples are at. Where is life taking me? What am I doing? What's next? And he sat down with them. It says in what they call the Last Supper. And he spent some time with his guys. He went through a variety of things with them. But basically what we're going to do is go through the heart of it. And that is where he comes before, when we come together and have bread and have wine together. As we take of the bread and wine, it's significant for us to know, and many of you already know, that it's something we do together. Because there was a group of people here that did it together. And even though they didn't know it, they were on mission. Thing is, we know it. We know we're on mission. And we know what God's called us to. And I know maybe there's some that don't, but for the most part, we all know it. And so as we come to this, we come a little bit more intentional. And we come a little bit more embracing. A little more thankful. A little more excited. A little less confused. A little more clear on where we're going. But we still have an unsureness to us, what that's going to look like. And can I actually do it? I like the sound of it, but can I follow like Jesus did? Can I go out and give an invitation to my friend to come at Easter? Or can I talk to them about Jesus somehow, how he made a difference in my life? Is that possible? Can I really do that? Because that's kind of the unseen stuff. They won't get that. Well, but that's our mission, to share that. And then as we share it, yeah, it's unseen, but the Holy Spirit who is unseen moves in their hearts as well. We believe that because God has told us he'll do that. So we came to them in this Last Supper to give them hope, but also to give them some information. And they didn't understand it, but as I say, we do. And I think that's the significance of Mark all through here. It says his gospel was written to give them the information so they could see how it fit together. And that's for us too. Now we have the information. So when we come, we totally understand what he's saying. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. So I'm going to ask those who are helping me serve, if they come forward, and we're going to go through this together now. And I'm going to take the bread, and I'm going to just tell you exactly what's going to happen before we do it. Isn't that what Mark's like too? So here we go. It says here, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. So he actually picked up the bread, and I'll try and do it like maybe close to what he did. Us disciples, we have a hard time following Jesus, right? In many areas. And he broke the bread. But it was significant, right? Just like the tearing of the heaven. Right? He's literally showing that I'm actually the one that's tearing apart for your sake. So that you might have life. I'm not going to rip you apart. I open it up for you. And he said, this is my body, which is given to you. I'll read it exactly here. Okay, so I get it right. And when he had given thanks, as I said, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, saying, take this. This is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank all of it. This is my blood, he said, of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.